First Samuel, and we've worked our way all the way to chapter number 26 in our study of the life of David. We've got that far. Chapter number 26, and this is our 13th study, and we're looking chapter number 26. And I want you to think about this. You read this entire chapter, and it almost seems like, you know, it's a duplication of some other things that we've already done. But I want you to look at it with this view in mind, or this bent toward it. Let's talk about how to fight temptation. How to fight temptation. And there's really, you know, a pretty good object lesson in this story, which is the story of David again, and Saul and David and the fight that's going on, and the issues between the two of them, and how Saul thinks things ought to go, and how David handles his business, and all of those things are still interacting here in this chapter. Now, like I say, you begin to read it and you think, well, it's almost looks like the same story we've read before. It's not the same story, but it is very similar. It's very similar to what we read. Actually, it's back in chapter number 24, I think it is, where David has an opportunity to do something in the life of Saul, and he doesn't. He has an opportunity, but he doesn't do it. So that's why I say I want us to look at this tonight, and let's talk about how to fight temptation. How to fight temptation. Let's look, if you will, and we'll read just a little bit, get you in the way of thinking. But look in chapter number 26, verse number 1. And the Ziphites, we met them before, the Ziphites came unto Saul in Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakkelah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakkelah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground by his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I'll not smite him the second time. And David said unto Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away. And no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you again for loving us here tonight. And I pray that you just show us the lesson, show us the thought, and just speak to our hearts and help us to see what you want us to know, and how you want us to behave, how you want us to act now as a child of God. And Lord, we'll just thank you for everything that you do for us. We love you and we praise you, and we just give you glory and honor now for everything that you do for us. And I pray you'd save some dear lost soul tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, when you read this, you're like, what all has that got to do with temptation? And you can kind of see a little bit of it in there, can't you? So let's look at it and notice it this way in in two different, actually we're going to see it in two different people, right? We're going to see it at one point in Saul, and then at another point we're going to see it in David. So first of all, let's look at this and we'll say, let's look at temptation and its call. Temptation and its call. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 1. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying. I want you to notice, a lot of times when temptation comes our way, temptation comes with some persistence. Can I tell you that? Persistence plays a big part in temptation in our life. What I mean by that is, when you're tempted by something, it just don't happen one day, you get through it, and, oh, well, that'll never happen again. No, it keeps coming back and back and back again, right? So I told you, we'd seen the Ziphites before. We'd seen these people from Ziph, and here they come. If you remember, now I don't know if you remember it or not, but anyway, the Bible tells us that the Ziphites were people that had come out of the lineage of Caleb. Okay? Caleb, back in the day when Joshua and Caleb were fighting and trying to overtake and get into the land, the promised land, and all the fighting that went on there, Caleb was a big time fighter. The only thing, y'all remember about Caleb, what he was a little guy. He was just a little, every time I think about it, I think he's Popeye the Sailor Man. Amen? I mean, he's just a little bitty guy, but son, he's eating his spinach and he's whooping somebody. He's on that mountain and he told Joshua, he said, Joshua, he said, I don't care about anything. I want that mountain up there. He said, God promised it to me and I'm going to go take that mountain. And he was a very determined and a very, just in your face kind of guy about doing, and God blessed him and he did give him a piece of land. But something else we also know about the Ziphites, if you will, the people of Ziph, they were of the tribe of Judah. So you'd think that if anybody ought to have a little compassion and a little care toward necessarily the things of God, you'd think it'd be the Ziphites. But they don't. And they're coming to Saul, and they keep trying to persuade Saul in continuing his attack on David. You see this? I mean, if you want to, go back there to, I believe it's chapter number 24. Go back to chapter number 24, and you'll see that those men came after David. I'm running some rabbits here now, but anyway, maybe it's back in chapter 23. Yeah, chapter 23, I'm sorry. Chapter 23, verse 19. And it came up to the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakalah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? And then they begin to say, now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy heart, come down. Our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. So they've already gone through this one time. They've already been there once. They've already got into this deal one time, but guess what? They're back again. I mean, this is a second visit from these guys. And the Ziphites in verse number 1 came unto Saul to Gibeah saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon? In other words, they're saying, hey, we're giving you another chance. Can I tell you, sometimes those things that tempt you come in a persistent manner. Whatever it is that's going to bother you, it ain't going to happen just one time, one and done. It will come again and again and again. I mean, I've seen people say, oh, preacher, you know, I can quit drinking that liquor anytime. I want to tell you, every time you quit drinking liquor, you know where you're going to wind up? You're going to wind up in front of a liquor store. You're going to wind up at a party where somebody's drinking. You're going to find a buddy that said, hey, let's go down and have a beer. I mean, just all of those things. It's not going to quit. It's going to be there. There's some persistence that comes in our lives when it comes to temptation. There's some persistence. And I want you to understand, if you're going to fight it, it's going to be a constant and an ongoing and a persistent battle. But not only look at persistence, I want you to notice that your temptation a lot of times has some partners. I mean, it ain't going to happen just one time. And guess what? There's going to be some partners that'll join up to try to get you into this place of temptation. I mean, here it is. The Ziphites came, and what'd they do? They said, we're going to help you. I mean, we're here. We can take you to him. We can get you there. We know where he's at. Amen. I don't know if y'all remember, and I know this ain't going to be real spiritual right now, but a long time ago, there was an old country song that said, lead me not into temptation, because I know the way to go myself. Amen. I mean, basically what the song said. I already know how to get there. Amen. Hey, that is most of us. But I'm telling you, most of us have some partners in getting us to these places of our temptation. And as if I said, oh, Saul, we got, come on, we're going to help you. Come on, we know where he's at. They did that the first time, didn't they? They're like, we know where to tell you where he's at. And now what are they doing? They're persisting. And they're saying, as a matter of fact, we'll join in with you and we'll help you flush him out. We'll bring him right to you. We'll take you to the very place that he is. Can I tell you, most of us don't need any help with our temptations, do we? But I'm telling you, there's somebody out there that'll partner up. As I said, there's that guy to come along and say, oh, let's go. We can go. Oh, don't be a sissy. Don't you be an old stick in the mud. Come on, go with us. We're going to have a party. You can sit there. You don't have to drink. You don't have to get in the, you don't have to do any of that. You just sit. Yeah, all the while they're pulling you in to the place of temptation. Do you realize that? And I've said this probably several times. I might have said it the other day. But when the Lord told us that we did not need to join ourselves to an unbeliever, be unequally yoked, that's exactly what he's talking about. Because you get somebody that doesn't believe like you do. You get somebody that doesn't have the same standards, doesn't follow the same Bible of the Bible, the same Bible that you do. You find somebody that doesn't follow the same Bible. Hey, they'll look at you like, oh, what are you being so? What? You're getting all holy on me. You're getting all religious. Why don't you just, cut that stuff out and let's do. And brother, let me tell you, temptation will bring some partners with it to try to drag you into some places that you don't need to go. And as a matter of fact, when you go back and look at it, if you'll remember when Saul has gone into the little cave thing over in Gedi, that's in chapter number 24. When Saul goes in there and takes a nap, David cuts off the edge of his robe and all that, and he goes back out, and he tells him, David kind of says, hey, I'm over here and I could have killed you and all of that. Listen, he realizes, man, this thing got me in trouble. And then you see at that point, what does he do? He begins to weep. And he begins to say, David, I'm sorry, you're right. I've messed up. I shouldn't have done this. And he says, I promise you, I'm not going to hunt you anymore. But guess what? Temptation came and said, won't you go get him now? We know where he's at. We know where he's hiding. We know, oh, we can help you get it. I want to tell you, you can do that sometimes. You say, oh, I'm quitting. Amen. I told you, I've seen them people talk, oh, I quit drinking anytime I want to. I've done it 100 times. Amen, ain't that right? I mean, that's the way it goes a lot of times. They thought they could. Amen. I mean, I've seen people tell me that through the pharmacy store. I had a lot of them tell me. They'd come in there and I'd say, well, my doctor told me I need to get some of them nicotine patches. Well, I can quit smoking anytime I want. I said, oh, really? Well, why don't you? Well, I've done it several times. Well, okay. Apparently you picked it back up, amen. And you need some help. That's the way it is with temptation. Temptation will have some persistence. Temptation has some partners. And let me tell you this about temptation. Temptation brings itself into a place of preparation. Do you see what? Here they come. The Ziphites come and they say to Saul, saying, doesn't David hide himself over here in these hills in Hakla, which is before Jericho? Come on and go with us. And look what it says. In verse number 2, then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph. If you want to stay away, don't go near whatever's tempting you. If Saul had meant what he said about not chasing David, not trying to kill him, not trying to do anything, then don't go there. But Saul arose and he went down to the wilderness of Ziph. And look, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And look, and Saul pitched in the hill of Hakla, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. I mean, here he is. He hadn't just, gone down there and said, well, I don't see him. He pitched a tent there and said, I'll wait on him. I mean, can you see that in temptation? Well, I don't need to be doing this. I think I'll leave and go. But let me just throw a tent out here and stay a while. Let me just hang out on this corner. Let me just look at the liquor store across the street. Well, I ain't going in, but let me look at it a while. Amen? Oh, well, I see there's some of them coming out and they're laughing now. They're having a good time. Maybe I go over just a little bit closer and take a look in the window and see what. If you're not careful, you'll wind up setting camp where you don't need to be. And that's exactly what happens here in the life of Saul. He pitched his tent. He brought his army. And there in this hill of Hakala, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. I mean, there they are. And buddy, they have flat camped out in a place called temptation. I mean, they've set up housekeeping. I mean, man, they didn't try to get away. They didn't try to get away. So I'm just telling you, here's temptation and its call. And temptation will call to every one of us. I mean, the Bible says that that every man is tempted. And he is called. I mean, there's a call that comes when James talks about every man's tempted and his lusts draw him. But I want to tell you something. There's some steps that follow that get you in trouble. Can I tell you this? There is no sin in being tempted. The sin comes when you give in to that temptation. Everybody in this room is going to be tempted in some way of something. But that's not the problem. The problem is when you give in. Saul had a choice to make. And you know what he did? Look at verse 2. Here's what Saul did. Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph. He said, well, it won't hurt to go look just a little bit anyway. Amen? You know what the Bible tells you over in the book of Ruth in chapter number 1? They began to have a little hard time in the land of Israel around Bethlehem. And you know how that Ruth's father-in-law, he began to, Naomi's husband, he said, well, I think we need to go somewhere else and just, let's go down there for a little while. But do you know what happened? A little while turned into a long while. And believe it or not, he died there. And not only did he die there, but his two sons died there. And Naomi, if you go over and read that, one of the saddest things it says, and Naomi was left of her husband and her two sons. She's left alone. What caused that? The temptation to go away from the house of God. Things were dry. Things were dead. Things didn't look good over there. You know what? That happens to every one of us. It looks better down there. But can I tell you, it ain't going to be better when you're out of the will of God and out of the place God wants you. So temptation will come calling. But let's look at this, if you will. Let's look at temptation and its calming. Let's look at a way of temptation where there is some calming. I want you to notice in verses 5 and 6, notice, now David, look in verse 4, it said, David therefore sent out spies, and he understood that Saul was come in very deep. David finds out that Saul is there. He said, okay, my enemy is here. But look in verses 5 and 6. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. And then David answered and said unto Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. I want you to know, first of all, in David's part of temptation, he did something very similar. He stepped in to a situation. I mean, again, he could have at this point said, I know what I've said before. I know what I meant for. There's no need for me to go down there and even see what Saul's up to. All I need to do is stay away from him and get out of here. And that would have probably made a lot of sense. But David said, I think that I want to go down here and see what's going on. So David steps in. Sometimes you and I will step into some situations that will be some temptation in those situations. He stepped in. Second of all, don't you know this? He gets to the place where he's standing pretty close to it. So David, verse number 7, so David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, listen, and Saul, or behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. Now, bolster's like a pillow. He had his spear stuck beside his pillow, but Abner and the people lay round about him. I mean, here's the king laying out here in this area that he's entrenched round about, and, you know, kind of like, I don't know, a big foxhole around. I don't know exactly what it is, but he's in a place where he's covered by his soldiers. They're all around him. As a matter of fact, he's got Abner with him, and Abner is the head of his security detail. All right? He's his Secret Service head right there with him. Hey, Abner is the man. And he's been charged with keeping the king safe. And so what does he do? He sleeps right there next to him. There's Abner. There's a bunch more soldiers. There's the king in the middle of them. And the king has taken his spear, and it's in the ground there next to him, just in case he wakes up and something's going on. He's got his spear next to him. Got a pillow, and he's got a bottle of water. Somebody say amen right there now. Take a bottle of water to bed with you. You might need it. Well, so he had him a bottle of water there next to him. And it says, here they go in verse number 8. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, and I pray thee with the spear, even to the earth at once. And I will not smite him the second time. He said, let me have one shot at him, and I'll kill him. I will get rid of him for you. I'll do it. Amen? I mean, they didn't just step in. They were standing close in this place of temptation. They stepped into it, but then they got a little bit closer. Now, I just think it's amazing. I think I must be kin to some of them guys that's there with King Saul. The Bible said a deep sleep fell on them. Say amen right there. I mean, they could nothing wake them up. I mean, apparently, it said it was from the Lord. So that's what the Lord, he's helped me. Okay. So here they are. I mean, they're dead asleep to the world. Nothing can wake these guys. I mean, nothing's going to wake them up. Here's David. I mean, he's standing right there at them, right next to the king. And, Abishai said, let me kill him for you. I'll do it. But I want you to know this. There is such a thing as saying no. And David said to Abishai in verse number 9, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? He said, nope. I'm saying no. Hey, the temptation was there. I mean, it'd been over with in just one swift move of a spear or sword or whatever it had been. And here's Abishai said, I'll take his own spear and kill him with it. It's just right here. All I got to do is do that. We're here. Let's do it. I mean, what's wrong, David? Go ahead. And David says, nope. That's not what's going to happen. Not at this time. And listen to what he says in verse 10. David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee now, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. I want you to notice, David found him a place, and he said, nope, it's not going to happen. As badly as you might want it to, as badly as I even think that I might want it to happen, I'm not going to do it. David has already, and listen, I mean, did David have, you know, would it have seemed right maybe to me and you for David to have killed him? Would it to me? He'd been hunting David all this time. You know what he wanted to do, David? He wanted to kill him. Throw a javelin at him. Had told his son, Jonathan, threw a javelin at him because he even friended up with David. I mean, and he said, I'll kill him. You get him back over. I'll kill him. He went down, he sent soldiers down to his daughter's house to find David, his son-in-law, and David and Michal had outfoxed him, and David got away. I'm just telling you, he intended to kill David. And by all rights, you think, well, David ought to kill him first. But no, David said, I'm telling you, there's some standards in my life that I'm not going against. Even though it might look like it's the right thing, even though it might seem like that's what I ought to do, he said, I'm not going to do this thing. He said, I cannot raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. As like I say, as much as he wanted to, he couldn't do it. Did he have all kinds of admiration and love for Saul? Probably not. But he certainly respected what Saul stood for and the place that the Lord had put him. That'd be a good lesson for a lot of us right now, going into a political election time. I mean, there's a lot of folks, and I don't like what they do and how they act and how they behave and all this kind of stuff. But can I tell you, when God puts them into a place, you and I must respect that place of their authority. Okay? So that's what he's saying. Look, he gets ready just to walk away. So David, in verse 12, took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep because the deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. So you see that, but I want you to listen. This is what David writes in the 18th Psalm. In the 17th verse, David says this, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. Listen to this very last part. For they were too strong for me. David said, God's delivered me from my enemy, and it didn't take me to do it. I didn't deliver me. He said, God did it because they're too strong for me, but they're not too strong for him. Amen. So, temptation and its calming, okay? And then last of all, let's look at this. Temptation and its confessing. I want you to notice what happens, if you will, here in the last little bit of this as it finishes up. You see that there is some confessing that goes on. First of all, notice the confession of the foolish. Look down in verse number 21. Verse number 21, we'll come back to some of these other verses in a minute. But verse number 21, David stands up and he says some things to Saul. We'll look at that in a minute. But in verse 21, then said Saul, this is Saul, after all this stuff's happened, David's escaped, David's got that spear, David's got the water bottle, got everything over there. And then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. And behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Wow. That's the confession of the foolish. Thank God, aren't you glad God wants us to confess when we've done wrong? And I don't know. I mean, here again, you've got Saul. He's already boo-hooed and cried and apologized one other time. Don't look like it lasted very long, does it? And he says it again here. But you see, there are some confessions that come along with food. But don't you notice confession of the faithful? Look in verse number 13 and notice what David said. Then David went and stood on the other side, or went over to the other side, and stood on the top of a hill afar off, a great space being between them. David gets the spear, gets the water bottle, goes off to a space away, standing on a hill away from where they are. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, art thou not a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the Lord thy king. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because you've not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew that David's, or knew David's voice, and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant?" David said, "Why are you chasing me for? For what have I done? Or what evil is in my hand?" He said, "Why are you still after me? Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. If I've done something wrong, let me come and bring an offering and say, I'm sorry to the Lord and to you both, my king. Let me do that." He said, "But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord." He said, "But if people have stirred you up to come hunt me, then let them be cursed. That's not right. They're not right." He said, "For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, 'Go, serve other God.'" He said, "Do you know what? You've run me off of my homeland. I can't even go and worship the Lord down at the holy temple because some crowd has stirred you up against me. I can't even come home." He said, "Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea." He said, "You're out here hunting. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. As one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains." Amen. And then notice in verse 22, this after Saul has said what he said. Verse 22, "And David answered and said, 'Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation." You see that? That's the confession of somebody. Well, first of all, the foolish, but David's confession was one of a faithful person. He said, "Now, if I've done something wrong, I'm ready to pay for it. But if men have stirred you up, then they're wrong, and you need to do something with them, get them out of your way." And he thought, hey, can I tell you, we need to stand when temptation comes. And if you'll stand, isn't it good that David said, "Look, I'm not going to be settling this matter." He said, "The Lord will settle this." And Saul doesn't know it, but we can read it. We will in a few more pages on down the line. This is the last time that Saul will ever speak to David. This is it, the final word. If you will, look at the final words that Saul said, verse 25. "Then Saul said to David, 'Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things and also shall still prevail.' So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place." That's the last things that Saul got to say to David was, "You're right. God's going to put you on the throne, and you're going to prevail in this situation." Wow. Isn't that pretty stout? Isn't that pretty strong? I mean, he knew. He knew. Let me just tell you here, he had in the, if you remember in that other incident in the cave in Engedi, and David has cut his robe away, that just says, hey, King Saul, the kingdom's going to be severed from you just like the skirt of your garment was. And now David takes his spear away from his head. And by that, David is saying, also the Lord says your authority. That spear was sort of a signal of power and you know, kingship and authority. And God, and David said, God's taken that away from you today, and I've got it. I'm going to give it back to you right now. But God's got me in the place I need to be in. And I can say no to temptation, whether you can or not. Wow. And as I say, the final thing is that Saul says to him, you're going to do great things and you're still going to prevail. You're going to be great. You're going to be the king. You're going to take over, and you're going to prevail. Boy, I mean, just some strong stuff that is said there by King Saul. I'm amazed at how those things have gone, but that's what the Lord does. And that's how me and you can act when temptations and situations come our way. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing a verse of a song, if you would, this time. Come on, we'll sing, and then we'll have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight.